All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and we got Grant F. Smith on the line from the Institute for Research Middle Eastern Policy, which focuses on, research, digging through the documents over the decades to find the goods on the Israel lobby. The latest book, and there are many, is Divert, Numek, Zalman Shapiro, and the Diversion of U.S. Weapons-Grade Uranium into the Israeli Nuclear Weapons Program. And I say it like that because there's an exclamation point in the title, really. Welcome back to the show, Grant. How are you doing?
Hey, Scott. Great. Thanks for pronouncing that exclamation point properly. That's really good.
Yeah, well, it's important that it's in there. That way, divert. It really is a complete sentence. I guess you is implied at the beginning, right? You, divert.
Exactly.
Divert weapons-grade uranium and get away with it for decades and decades until Grant gets your number.
That's right. Divert was the name of the investigation. So, you know, we've talked about this for a couple of episodes, and more and more stuff has been coming out about it. But it wasn't until relatively recently that, in sifting through some declassified documents, I finally figured out that Divert was the name of the investigation, and it was also symbolic in that the investigation was diverted ultimately and buried in classified files.
Right. Divert this story into the Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse somewhere.
Exactly, that big warehouse with all the wooden crates. Mm-hmm. And once in a while you can file a FOIA and they'll pry some of the nails out and give you a few documents, but not always.
Right. All right, well, now this one is called AIPAC Obtained Missile Secrets. And at the end, you make it relevant to current discussion, or what ought to be current discussion, about the defamation suit by Stephen Rosen against the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. So catch us up real quick. For those who aren't familiar, they just started paying attention to foreign policy since Ron Paul made it seem important to them or something like that after all these years. Who's Stephen Rosen, and what's the big deal with his defamation lawsuit? And then maybe we can backtrack to this story that you've dug up from newly declassified U.S. State Department documents.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Stephen J. Rosen was one of the top people at AIPAC, and kind of, as has been the theme of your show today, one of these people who has been pushing for war, him with Iran, for quite a while, and he was caught up in a wiretap passing classified information to a Washington Post reporter declaring that Iran was engaged in total war with the U.S. and that, trying to gin up establishment press against Iran back in 2004. Well, he was indicted criminally, and the AIPAC official's legal counsel was played, after being given a temporary security clearance, played some tapes that sounded damning. They knew he was going to be indicted, so they fired him and then told the New York Times that his behavior was out of line with what AIPAC expects of its employees. And so the espionage indictments were ultimately quashed by the Obama administration, but the case lives on because Rosen filed a defamation suit against AIPAC for $20 million saying, hey, you know, let's just admit that we take classified information all the time in order to shape policy, and so you can't defame me and fire me, give me $20 million. And this legal action, although you won't read about it anywhere except for antiwar.com, is in the appeals court right now, and there's going to be some arguments next week in the D.C. Court of Appeals in which all of this will be aired publicly. So that's kind of the back story for this particular report, because the evidence is now coming out about all of these different shenanigans that AIPAC has been up to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what a great ironical sort of wrinkle in this thing. I really like that. But, the defense of Stephen Rosen, who, you know, I would think if Obama can prosecute all these legitimate whistleblowers, they certainly should have been able to prosecute Stephen Rosen under the same statutes. But he got away with what was some pretty dastardly activity there in funneling basically stolen papers out of the Pentagon straight to Israeli intelligence in order to better pressure American leadership into war with Iran, as it says in the indictment.
Right.
And then... So AIPAC distances themselves from him and says, oh, well, you know, we're not in the spying business. This is a rogue guy all of a sudden. So he sues them, and his plaintiff in this case is that you guys deal in classified information all the time and you know it. So you're defaming my character by saying that I was doing anything out of my job description at your organization. Pay me. Hilarious. I love it. If I still had a sense of humor, I would actually laugh.
Yeah, if this weren't so dangerous to everybody who's not playing these games. But, you know, he does have a point. There have been classified information incidences with AIPAC in 1975, 83, 84, 86, 87, 2000, 2001, 2004. I mean, there are documented, not all of them well documented, but there are so many documented incidences of AIPAC grabbing classified information either to leak it, to destroy someone's career, or to find out what the U.S. is doing with different players in the region, or in one case to get classified trade information and confidential business secrets. So AIPAC has been doing this for so long that he's able to do that. But he hasn't taken the gloves off yet. He hasn't deposed, for example, Douglas Bloomfield, who was very involved in obtaining business secrets. He hasn't deposed Esther Kurtz, who's still at AIPAC, for handling trade information. So he hasn't gone all out yet. I think what he wants, he doesn't want this trial to be a public spectacle, and neither does AIPAC. In fact, if it looks like it's going to go that way, I'm sure they'll settle out of court. But it is kind of the justice that was short-circuited in the criminal process has come alive again in this civil process.
You know what I'm interested in is, because, you know, really we have to save the story of Norman Dacey and the missiles and all this till the other side of the break, which is about to happen. So in the meantime here, before the break, I was wondering how much attention your work gets from other journalists. Do people come to you and, you know, ask you for help with the background on stories they're working on very often, that kind of thing? Because you just absolutely have how many thousands and thousands of pages of government documents, semi-secret and formerly classified and that kind of thing on the subject of the power of the Israel lobby over the decades IRMEP now?
Well, you know, there are. I've had this ongoing discussion with a Wall Street Journal reporter. And, you know, I've said to him, look, you're really not in any position to publish any of this information, no matter how important it is. Given the ownership of your paper and how it structures things, news, whatever, you say there's a glass wall between the editorial part and the news part, but there isn't, you know, you're just not in a position to use any of this, so why are we even talking? And, you know, I'm on international news channels, but, you know, there are a lot of things wrong with U.S. outlets that means they can't handle this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, attention all journalists, there's a lot of stuff there, primary source material. Check it out, IRMEP.org. I'll spell it for you when we get back from this break. It's Grant F. Smith, antiwar.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, I'm talking with Grant F. Smith from the Institute for Research Middle Eastern Policy. That's IRMEP.org. They're based in Washington, D.C. His latest book is called Divert, Numek, Zalman Shapiro, and the Diversion of U.S. Weapons-Grade Uranium into the Israeli Nuclear Weapons Program, a subject which we've talked about before. And you can find in the archives at antiwar.com/radio. Okay, now... we talked about the end of the article, Grant, but let's turn now to the beginning. Who is Norman F. Dacey?
Norman F. Dacey struck terror into the financial planning industry in the 60s and 70s because he was this recalcitrant guy who didn't want people to go to court to settle their estates. He wanted them to be independent, cut lawyers' fees, and set up their own trusts. But he was also a big friend of dissident Rabbi Elmer Berger, and was the chairman of the American Palestine Committee, and he was very argumentative with the Justice Department over Israeli arms smuggling. He got in their face quite a bit in the 60s and 70s. And in the mid-70s, after there was a small amount of information about AIPAC obtaining classified information about a missile sale, he wanted to know why AIPAC was exempt from information, you know, classified information trafficking laws, and got into the State Department's face, which generated a file which was just released last month.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story is that in 1975, the U.S. was going to sell some defensive surface-to-air, basically anti-aircraft missiles, to Jordan. They sent some classified documents about what the Jordanians wanted to a couple of congressional committees. AIPAC promptly went up there. Morris Amate, the director, got that information and used it to create a public campaign against the sale. And over the course of time, the State Department was forced to admit something many Americans believe about it, which is that it created a national defense threat against the U.S. by exposing this information, which almost drove the Jordanians into the arms of the Soviets. And so the interesting thing about the documents is the detail, the fact that the State Department at first wanted to sweep it under the carpet, but then Dacey kept on their case and threatened them with legal action, which was credible because he was in court with everybody at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they admitted to the criminal division of the Justice Department that, yes, in fact, a crime had been committed. And, of course, there was never any prosecution, never any accountability for any of this, and, of course, no mainstream journalists ever bothered to get these documents, which have been available, you know, for a long time to anybody who pursued them. So the backstory is this is among the earlier incidents of AIPAC acting on classified information with utter impunity, things that would have landed other groups or individuals in jail, and it is directly relevant to the court action that's taking place next week and, in fact, has been entered in to that court proceeding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yes.
Well, and, you know, look, it's relevant to the entire discussion of America's relationship with Israel. I mean, there's a whole thing going on right now where no matter how Jewish someone is, if they ever use the term Israel firster, then they're an anti-Semite now, something like that. And the argument for the Israel firsters is that they just don't believe that there's any daylight in the actual legitimate, you know, national interests of both countries, that whatever is good for Israel is good for America and vice versa, like General Motors or something, supposedly.
Well, that's the PR frame. I mean, I don't think the people advancing that believe it. It's just something that in this country, you know, we give a break to anybody who's got these, you know, strongly held beliefs. You know, I can be a crazy person, but as long as I have, you know, strongly held beliefs, you know, you have to honor those. Well, this is just a PR framework. I mean, any political scientist who's, you know, recognized knows that no two countries have the same interests. And, of course, U.S. and Israeli interests have been diverging for quite a while. So, you know, the sad thing about this, for people who are on the sidelines and paying for all of these wars and aid and et cetera, is that they don't get to have these discussions for the same reason that these establishment journalists won't touch this stuff, because of all of the organizations that are affiliated with the lobby who mm-hmm. are watching them, camera, etc. who call them and hound them if they ever have a critical story, none of these issues are even debated on the Hill because of the force of this lobby. And so I think the sad thing about it is the AARP doesn't, you know, take old people's 401ks and use them to bribe politicians. You know, the NRA isn't doing armed robbery to support, you know, their causes on the Hill. Legitimate lobbies don't act this way, and yet we have this Justice Department that's been utterly captured by the lobby, you know, and it's just it's getting out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, regardless of the trend and the getting out of hand, actually, to me, this episode, especially because it's plucked from the past like this, revealed in these documents, that it has to be this way, right? You can't blame the Israelis for wanting to know if the Americans want to sell a bunch of missiles to Jordan, and you can't blame them for having a position on it. That's just part of selling weapons to Jordan all the time or whatever. You know, that comes with the territory. But it just shows that, regardless of any trend, necessarily Israel's interests and America's interests are just different things. Even if they have a lot of things in common, which, you know, we could argue about, they certainly are separate things.
Well, yeah, one of the points, though, is other countries will work out of their embassies over issues like this. And so you wouldn't have an organization whose, you know, real origins can be traced right back to the Israeli embassy working on Hill as though it were just a, you know, vanilla American lobbying organization. And so the fact that all of these national players are harnessed to this and then connected to a campaign finance network is something that doesn't exist for any other country. And you even see it with this, you know, upcoming AIPAC meeting that's going to happen in March, where uninvited, the two leaders of Israel are coming to the United States, and now these same groups are pressuring Obama that he's got to have a summit with them at this particular juncture, you know, really calling the shots. If this were Mexico, which, by the way, is 10 times as important as Israel in terms of trade, trying to do this by manipulating different domestic groups, I don't think anybody would stand for it. But this relationship is so uncharacteristic of other relationships and seemingly has transcended the Foreign Agents Registration Act and the Logan Act and all of these other things that regulate foreign lobbies, that whether the interests are the same or the different, there aren't any rules. It's just whatever this sort of sovereign group wants to do, they're able to do. And even the Norman Daceys, who are empowered by law and by substantial resources, were never able to call them and get any sort of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, with the Steve Rosen case, you see the direct connection there where they were taken, you know, they got Larry Franklin to give them all these top secret papers that he got from the Pentagon,
right.
And then they
right.
funneled them to the Israeli embassy.
Right.
Nior Gilon and Danny Aiyalon, right, were the recipients
yep.
of this stuff. Just, you know what it reminds me of, sort of, is like the National Endowment for Democracy doing the dirty work, or the National Republican Institute doing the dirty work for the CIA, where it's like kind of semi-legit and out in the open, but everybody knows that what it really is it's an intelligence operation in your country. Look at them being
right.
prosecuted in Egypt right now, because everybody knows it's pretty much just the CIA. Come on.
So, clearly, nonprofits are being abused in many cases.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm sorry we're all out of time. Original.antiwar.com/Smith-Grant. We got to get you a shorter URL there. Anyway, look for Grant Smith, Anti-War, and you can find him at the Institute for Research, Middle Eastern Policy, IRMEP.org. Thanks very much, Grant.
Thanks, Scott.